A really important topic for us this evening, if you've been following along with where we've been going, certainly over the last little while, we've been turning our attention away from crisis mode into really thinking about how our businesses and teams are going to operate over the next little while. Certainly for me, I've been able to really think about a few things with my team and with the business, how to balance that short-term versus long-term thinking and direction that I'm setting. Certainly in crisis mode, we go straight to short-term. And I'm now really finding that balance between that short and long-term rhythm that I'm finding I'm having to create. Also with the team, one thing that we can lose sight of very quickly is connecting both the purpose of the organization to what people are doing still and making sure that the work that they're focused on is purposeful. And I think it's a focus of mine, certainly this week as I've come back off the break, to really make sure I'm putting those two things at the heart of the way I'm thinking with connecting with the team. And the last thing for me with the team is making sure that the deliverables are really clear and the outcomes are clear that people are working on. So when we're setting some of those shorter term goals and that focus, really trying to celebrate the quick wins and really help people that are a bit more achievement focused, grab hold of those things that they've been working on. So some of the things that we're going to be talking to you about tonight, the cadence, rhythms, how people are contributing, and most importantly, and something that Maximus have been working on a lot over the last while, if you know us, is this idea of emotional commitment. How do we create it? What do we do? And we're going to be giving you three things tonight. We're going to be helping you understand emotional commitment and get into that discussion a bit. We're going to help you reflect on your style and how you're showing up with your team and what that looks like. And we're going to give you some practical takeouts to take away at the end of the session. So throw yourselves into it. Enjoy the topic that we're going to discuss this evening. And I'm going to throw straight over to Brent, who's going to take it from here. So enjoy, and we'll speak to you soon.
As Mark mentioned, we've been using these opportunities to kind of press the pause button and come together as a group of leaders and really consider and share some of the insights that we've been all experiencing. And tonight, we really wanted to do a bit of a deep dive into culture. And it's interesting, it's only been a matter of weeks since many of the discussions in our organizations around culture were things like, how do we make sure that our head office culture permeates out to our branches or permeates out to our state cultures, or how does our Australian culture relate to our culture in Asia Pacific? But it's really interesting, the current situation that we're in right now is that our organizational cultures are being stretched. Ben, you mentioned this in a couple of calls ago, they're being stretched out into our people's homes. And for some of you on the call, that might be 10 tens of people, some of you might be hundreds, and some of you might be, that's thousands of actual now, I guess, organizational branches or offices that your culture has to now permeate into. And if you think about this concept of cultures permeating out into our homes, you know, you have to be sure that it's not a one-way street, that our cultures are actually being received by our families or the people that we live with in our homes. And they're seeing and they're hearing firsthand our culture, our organizational culture, and also our leadership. So for me, for those who know me, I have four sons who I'm trying to juggle with at the moment, school holidays. I'm sort of dreading going back to school again for the, you know, home learning, but it's balancing that, balancing work, balancing two dogs. And my nine-year-old, my youngest, called me out the other day and said, "Dad, you always just say, I'll be back in a minute. I'll be back in a minute." And he said, "You're back in a minute means 2 hours." So I think all of us are being tested in our homes and our cultures. Our cultures are being live streamed, vice versa. So our homes and our cultures are being live streamed like they are right now across each other. And I think it's just really interesting for us to think about this concept of our culture permeating and being streamed live across our homes.
Thanks, Brent. And just to build on the discussion around emotional commitment, it is a complex issue. And for those of you that are familiar with our work, it's at the heart of what we do in the leadership space. You know, emotional commitment actually has to be asked for and it has to be given. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what it means to actually receive that from your people and what it takes to get it. So when I think about emotional commitment, just even in a normal context, it's hard to achieve, let alone in a fully virtual environment where we miss that ability just to physically connect with people. So there's a couple of things that are really key when you're trying to drive emotional commitment. And the first thing is the way that you connect with people. It has to be beyond a transactional connection. So if your days at the moment are filled up with Zoom meetings and they're on tasks and they're on work product and activities that you're achieving together, that might be an indicator that people are needing something a little bit more in terms of the style of connection that they're getting from you right now. for those that were on the live stream last week, I said, I think it was the Wednesday, I gave myself a bit of a talking to and I said, you've got 24 hours and you need to get back to being in a good headspace. And part of it was about that. You know, I love to emotionally connect with our people and it's part of what I really believe in terms of leadership. And I really found myself getting down into the tasks and the activities and just missing a trick on that. So it's not going to be perfect and it's probably not going to be consistent, but it is something we need to bring focus to. The other thing that's really important for emotional commitment is transparency. And at times like this, where people are feeling really worried about their futures and there's a lot of information, but there's a void of clarity, how we think about what we share and the way we disclose and the way we offer transparency is really, really important. So I encourage you again on the transparency front, just to take a step back and really think about, are you sharing with people your knowns? Are you sharing with them your unknowns? Are you sharing with them how you're thinking about things? Because all of those things can help them build trust in you and build the kind of emotional commitment that you're going to need to get through the next cycle. And the third thing I wanted to talk about is accessibility. When I'm talking about accessibility, I don't mean availability in a virtual context. I mean emotional accessibility. And I think at times like this, it tests us because on the one hand, as leaders, we have to be really strong. And for me, this is a personal test because I pride myself on being resilient and being mentally quite tough. But there's times where you actually have to take that mask off. And, you know, those that know me know that it's an important part of how we work with leaders. But these are times when you need to balance those things. And it's hard to balance the accessibility and the vulnerability with that kind of mental toughness that it takes to get through the times that we're in. So just three things that I encourage you to just step back from and ask yourself the question, am I getting the kind of emotional commitment that I need to see through this cycle? And am I really leveraging these three things? So we're going to help you dig into that a little bit. The first way we want to do that is really to step back and get you to consider the style you're adopting at the moment. And we'll all have a bit of a default position. So we've identified these seven elements, and what we're going to ask you to do is really have a think about where you're operating across these seven dimensions. So you can start to see there's a real mix of being more directive and consultative. And at times like this, there's absolutely the need to be able to pivot in and out of those two styles pretty seamlessly, particularly in a virtual environment. There's a lot of pace setting. Hopefully we're getting some bounded optimism, a nice dose of reality with hope for the future. So I just encourage you as you kind of think about, as I said, there's no right answer in terms of where we plot ourselves here, but as you think about where you have identified yourself, just take a minute to think about what you might need to, you know, as you move out of crisis and that kind of urgency where we've got all the benefits of adrenaline and pace to operate from, and we're now going into this new normal where productivity could be a challenge if we don't get the emotional commitment right, where it's really easy for people to switch off their cameras, they can virtually disconnect. I just want you to go back and look at those dimensions and just ask yourself, what are the things that I might need to dial up and dial down in this next phase? Just wanted to debrief some of the insights that came out of that. And just wanted to pick up on a conversation that was happening in our group with Anello, and she was basically sharing that whilst they're very busy right now, obviously the cycles will evolve and there could be impacts down the line. And I think that's really important to think about as we're thinking about personally how we're showing up about leaders, how will that need to evolve as we see through those different cycles?
So really forcing me to probably not be the person I am normally for the particular context of trying to turn the business around. I'm still reflecting on my comment around this accessibility, that we're signaling something, and I don't know what the answer is. We're signaling something by allowing people to be in our homes. So whilst the person at the front is the normal work person, behind us is our other lives. And that's interesting for people to observe. And I don't really know what it's signaling. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing or just a thing. But I'm going to have to ponder on that in terms of the significance of that. Are people, I guess, their work selves comfortable being the work self in front of a screen, but having the home self behind them? And are those signals incongruent? That's maybe a thing for me to ponder on. How incongruent or congruent is the behind self me and the screen self me?
Did anyone care to share a view on that? Because some people, I guess, have been working on a very integrated home self. I know in our household, my kids are always in the car with me. They hear business conversations, sometimes not great ones, but certainly between Brent and I, they've heard a few swear words from time to time. Whereas other people have more separation. And, you know, I spent this week with one of the regulator organisations, and there were many people in that organisation that were really uncomfortable with even having their cameras on because they were so used to having clear boundaries around the role they play in the financial security of our marketplace and feeling like that those boundaries were a really important part of their conditions. So I'd love to hear what people think about that issue.
We as a group, Vanessa, I think spoke about the authenticity that exposing your environment creates and the importance of that when it comes to connection and the various conversations we're having that are prompted now by getting a sense of the environment that sits around it, but also the importance of authenticity, though, to create the connection that we're talking about and almost dialing that up even further in this context. I mean, there is a slight nuance, though, which is interesting just from a leadership perspective, because one of the things I've been pondering in the updates I provide is, do I record them or do I type them? And I'm mindful we've moved to an agile environment very rapidly. And whilst we may have had the technology infrastructure, not everyone has a home office. And I know we've got people that are struggling working from a small studio apartment. You know, some of us have the benefit of having a separate room where we can shut the door, or I agree with the authenticity and kind of bringing people into your home, but we've also got to understand that it's not the same experience for everyone. So as a leader, I'm also just trying to balance that aspect of things as well.
In the conversation, we talked a little bit about this lasting and being enduring and the fact that it was, you know, you needed to prepare for it like it was a marathon and be able to see through the different cycles. So I just think when you're thinking about things like if you're more geared towards introversion or extroversion, how sustainable are some of the practices for you right now as well? And that came up in our discussion. So any thoughts from the group in terms of how to sustain that in what could be, you know, months on end?
Vanessa, I think there's an aspect of some sort of customer-centric approach here. In other words, it will be sustainable if that's who my stakeholder, my customer, my consumer, the team I lead, the community, my family, my friends, citizens of New South Wales, if that's what's required of me right now, I think that's a way to sustain it a little bit longer than normal. I don't think it is necessarily a long-term thing. I haven't tested it yet. Certainly not over the long term, but it certainly helps me short term if I think, what does this community need right now? And therefore, do I need to adjust? Do I need to shift on that continuum?
Absolutely. So I might just finish off on thinking about the balance that we're striking right now. We talked a little bit about finding the balance between accessibility, vulnerability, and strength. I'd imagine that no one wants to see you completely falling apart every day, but at the same time, they want to know what's hard and what you're finding challenging, and they want to have real conversations with you. At the same time, you need to know what you need to bring to different situations. So for us, when we think about this, it's all about finding those balances. And the other balance I want to talk about, which is something that we're focusing on inside our own organisation right now, and it's something that I feel like is really energy giving for me and also for our people, is this balance between the lift that you're trying to create on capability for your people. So we're all going to go through a reimagining and a rebuilding phase at the end of this. And what we come out with the other side is hopefully a much stronger, more capable organisation than what we've got today. So we need to keep the support, particularly as, you know, we see through the impacts of the health crisis in people's lives and the financial impacts. But at the same time, how do you have the challenge, the right level of challenge there on the lift that you really want to see in your people and keep that in focus the whole way through?
I think over the last couple of weeks, as we've been working in with our clients and leaders and teams, this concept of cadence and the type of operating rhythm we need to establish comes up time and time again. And so there's just a few things we want to share with you on some of the things we're solving for in helping people find this cadence. You know, we went from crisis mode into this newer way of operating, and we need to keep adjusting and keep getting that balance right. So just a few things to think about balance. First of all, when you've been thinking about your old meetings and bringing them into the new environment, I ask you to think about the balance of team get-togethers versus those one-to-one catch-ups that you have. We heard it a little bit in our breakout group. You know, we're having to shift our focus away, you know, from all those all team catch-ups to really spend that time one-to-one with people. You know, in a whole team environment, you got to be conscious that not everybody gets a chance to speak all the time. Not everybody gets a chance to say something. And they may go the whole day without talking to somebody in the organization if we don't connect with them one-to-one. So have we got that balance right between all team meetings and one-to-one connections? The second point that you've got up in front of there is about where you're spending your time. And we say for a senior leader, this construct around 40-40-20 is a nice way to think about it. So if you are partly customer facing, 40% of your time in with your team and out to the market. 40% of your time connected with your peers, making sure you have alignment, that you are really thinking about solving the right things at the right level. And 20% of your time, depending where you sit in the organization, should be really focused on leverage and getting your senior executives up and out of the organization. We're getting that balance right, 40-40-20 of senior leaders in your organization and for yourselves about your own time management. And the last thing was a little bit what we touched on and what Vanessa was talking to there around when we're doing these bigger meetings, not everybody likes their face on camera and is comfortable sharing that side of themselves. How can we provide just as good a communication method to those introverts that perhaps want to be in the background and just type their messages and communicate in a slightly different way? Have we got that balance right and that cadence right of giving everybody equal amounts of time and share of the spotlight? So some things to take away from that. Don't take your old meeting schedules and try and transfer them into the new way of operating. Take a step back and go, what does my dream week look like? How much time am I spending and what am I spending on? And if you've got a meeting rhythm locked in, it has to be agile. Don't be a slave to it. Don't stick to it. Keep it moving. Even for ourselves this week, we suddenly realized we had way too many catch-ups in and we've eased them back and we've set up a new schedule for next week. You've got to keep them moving as we move through these phases of our organizations.
The question really was just to the group to share your insights around this concept of the practical side of this, how we bring it to life through cadence, and what part of your rhythm or your cadence do you think is really working for you and enhancing the culture and that emotional connection and commitment, or which parts of your cadence are not?
I think it feels like the cadence that we've got at the moment is reasonably balanced, but I think one of the comments I made last week that I'm finding more difficult in the shift to this more agile environment, and why I'd say it's a non-comment is really understanding how it feels for others, I think, is one of the challenges I'm finding. So to me, it feels like it's well balanced, but how do I know that it's genuine and that is the right balance?
It's a good point. The cadence might be working for you or your style or your leadership persona, but is it working for the receiver on the other end? And as we've touched on tonight, you know, in these extreme circumstances, some of our preferences like extroversion, introversion are being tested.
I was just commenting that it's really hard when different universities are traveling at different speeds and knowing financial situations and managing the rumours that are going around because the academics know what's happening in other universities, and when they're not getting clear messages, there could be the possibility of them becoming anxious. At the moment, they're operating on goodwill and commitment to the university and to their students. But as the anxiety is increasing around the sector, I know there's concern that whether they'll be able to keep operating in that way.
I think that idea of being conscious of not only what's going on in your organisation, but lifting our eyes and looking at others in our industry, but also other industries, both local and global, to see what learnings can we get from others, and which is also what part of the value of coming together tonight across industry.
I started out, you know, 3 weeks ago when we were working at home, being very getting stuff done, just being really directive because we're in this new model, and gradually over time that's changed, even in a short period of time, because I've just seen the team wanting to understand better or even see that a bit of vulnerability, because some of the leaders in our organization are trying to be quite stoic and strong and, you know, we're going to figure this out, we've got it all sorted, but the reality is no one knows. And so that letting our guards down has been something that's I've seen happening more in the last week, and I think the team are really relishing that. And, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people that I wouldn't normally have had about how they're feeling and how I'm feeling and what are the challenges. And so that's been a really positive thing. And I think it's again, balancing that directive, let's get stuff done because we need to get stuff done, but let's understand how we're all living this experience together and we're all going through it as one. So that's been an interesting transition as a group and for myself.
I think that's a really nice way to think about how you can be there for each other in your leadership teams, in what you share with each other. Because I think in this kind of heightened state, we're operating in quite a fast cadence, as we've said, and there's not always an enormous amount of time for perspective on yourself. So when things that you're shifting and pivoting are working, I think making sure that you're reinforcing that for others and asking them to equally reinforce that for you. So you're getting that read on how you're being received, as Brent said. So I really just wanted to finish on a couple of final thoughts. And I think coming back from the Easter break, I had it quite clear in my mind that whatever we set up now, you know, is really going to be establishing a bit of a rhythm for what it's going to be like for the months to come. And for every business, that's a little bit different. But, you know, that was pretty clear to me that that's where it was for our business. And I think as, you know, if you're in that state where you're getting into the new normal, a really valuable thing to think about as you get into that state is not just how people are experiencing you. We've talked about that a lot tonight, but going to the next question and asking yourself, how are they experiencing themselves when they're in your presence? So are they experiencing themselves as someone who's equipped, who's capable, who's able to identify where they don't have information and create their own clarity? Or are they experiencing themselves as someone who's wanting and needing from you? So how you set them up in this next phase as you go into your new normal is really important for how they come up out the other side.